Lieutenant Morrison died as dawn broke on that Friday morning, a casualty of war. I wrote the date and the time in his record. I had sat with him for the last hours of his life, and stayed with him still for nearly a quarter of an hour afterward. I hadn't known him, except as a patient. I couldn't have told anyone that he was a good man, or that he liked sunsets, or sailing, or treacle tarts. He'd been unconscious since he came to us at the base hospital, but he belonged to someone. Parents, possibly brothers and sisters, perhaps even a sweetheart or wife. He belonged to his men, and they had come when they could to stand silently beside his bed or touch his hand. We were so close to ending this wretched war. It was hard to watch men die when rumours promised safety and peace so near at hand. I watched the stretcher-bearers carry away his body, and later I would find the names of those he left behind and write to them. Matron came to stand beside me and laid her hand briefly on my arm. After a moment she said briskly, "There are other men waiting for your care." I turned and smiled as best I could, then went about my duties. Mourning was a luxury we couldn't afford, with so many wounded coming in. Later that day, we were making the rounds with a medicine tray when Sister Walker came searching for me. I was just giving a Scots captain his next dose of morphine. He had had surgery on his hip, and the pain had been more than he could bear, stoic though he was, and she waited patiently while I tended him. As I turned to go to the next patient, she took the tray from me. "Matron has sent for you. I'll carry on here." I thanked her and sought out Matron. She was in her small office, making notations in patient records. Looking up, she said, "Permission to sit down, Sister Crawford." Oh, dear, I thought. Bad news from home? No, she didn't appear to be distressed for me. A reprimand? We were all pushed to our physical and emotional limits, and it would only be human to miss some important detail. A complaint? Lieutenant Booker was recuperating, but irascible. She seemed to be choosing her words with care, and that was even more worrying. "Sister Belmont," she said finally. "Do you know her?" "Not well," I replied blankly. "We worked together near Ypres, I think."
"Yes, I see. She was at the forward aid station with Dr. Weatherby. They just brought her in. Attempted suicide."
I drew in a breath of shock. In 4 years of war, we had all seen more horror and more tragedy than seemed possible for a human being to endure. They kept us awake at night, and when we could sleep, they filled our dreams.
"One case in particular was more than she could bear. Face wound. A friend from her village. She and her brother had known him since childhood. The breaking point for her. She ran out of the tent to her quarters and found a pair of scissors."
"I'm so sorry."
"I shouldn't be telling you this, Sister Crawford, but they desperately need a replacement, you see, and the staff is understandably upset. I need a steady hand, someone who will take over Sister Belmont's duties and support Dr. Weatherby in every way."
I found myself wondering how I might feel if Simon, or someone I knew very well, like Sergeant Lassiter, had come in with such a wound, and it was shattering even to imagine. "I will do my best, Matron," I managed to say.
"Yes, I know you will, Bess," she replied quietly. "That's why I've chosen you. The next ambulances should be in at 2 o'clock. See that you have turned over your patients to Sister Walker and have your kit ready."
"Yes, Matron." I rose with a nod. I had reached the door when she added,
"Dr. Weatherby is very young. Help him to cope."
It had been difficult for her to give me so much personal information. It wasn't done. A warning, perhaps, or a worry she couldn't quite bring herself to explain. Still, it would have been just as wrong to send anyone to the aid station without some knowledge of the problems there. "I will do all I can, Matron," she nodded as I shut her door.